I'll give him something we need. Amen. I always look forward to coming to church and getting a blessing. Brother Lewis preacher, somebody else preaches, I like to listen. I want to learn something. I want to get something. I want to make my time useful and profitable. So you be praying for him. Lord willing, we'll hear him preach next Sunday evening. Now, if you would, Ecclesiastes, you don't need to turn there. We're not going to be there. I'm just going to use it for a text. Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 1, the Bible said, "Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days." Let's pray. Father, help us now this evening. Pray that you'd be with our mind, be with our tongue, be with our voice. Help us to proclaim the Word of God. I pray, oh God, that the Word of God would be a comfort to us, it would edify us. Use it tonight to encourage us and provoke us to be faithful and be diligent in declaring the Word of God to a sin-cursed, hell-bound world. Help us to be mindful of the sinners that are going to perish without God and without hope if we're not faithful to thy commandments. Help us, I pray, O God, to bring honor and glory to thy great name. Help us to lift up, exalt, and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. We sure would thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll bring you a little message tonight entitled, "Bread and Water." That's what you get when you go to jail in the Westerns. I don't know how long you can live on bread and water, but I imagine it'll be a good while. But they say, you know, they used to put them in solitary confinement and then for 30 days, and they just feed them on bread and water. Of course, we look at that and we think, well, that's a terrible diet. It's a terrible menu. Well, bread comes from wheat, and wheat's one of the better things you can put in your body. And there's nothing better for you than good old water. So bread and water wasn't as bad as it might have sounded. But even when you have a balanced diet and have all the veggies and the meat and the proteins and the carbohydrates and all that other stuff, and you get rid of the trans fats and the homogenized and all them other made-up words they got these days, I never knew that food was so complicated. Polyunsaturated, trans fats, fat from, and then there's a dozen different things you can get different kinds of fat from. And these are good fats, and those are bad fats, and you have good cholesterol and bad cholesterol, and I think you ought to just eat. Amen. But in the Word of God, we talk about bread and water a right good bit. They're both mentioned in several different contexts on a number of occasions. But tonight, I will talk about bread and water in a bit of a different vein. It says, "Cast thy bread upon the waters." We're not looking at water to drink. We're looking at a lake or a river or a sea, a body of water. They said, "Cast thy bread upon the water, for thou shalt find it after many days." Now, it's apparent from the context that it's not talking about a literal bread, because you're not going to find literal bread after a number of days. The goldfish and the guppies are going to eat it. Amen. So he's trying to present a truth to us, and we'll look at it and see what it is. Now, in the Word of God, Jesus Christ is called the bread of life. And of course, in the Bible, water is a symbol of people, masses, multitudes of people, not single individuals, but humanity in mass. For example, in John chapter 6 and verse 48, the Bible said, Jesus speaking, said, I am the bread of life. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, the Bible said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. This bread, Jesus is the bread of life. He's the Word of God. So the Word of God is the bread that we're talking about. And it's saying, cast this bread upon the waters. In Revelation chapter 17, verse 1 and verse 15, the Bible said, I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. In verse 15 it said, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. So the waters there is the people of the world. And the bread there is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the bread of life. And it said, cast that bread upon the waters. Share the Lord Jesus Christ with the world. Now, food, bread is for sustenance. It's to maintain life. And without that, pretty soon you're gone. And so the idea that we're trying to look at tonight is taking the person of the Lord Jesus Christ and presenting him to the world as what they need to live. That God, the Word of God, the bread of life, is what sustains us and preserves us and maintains us. And the world out there needs that bread. They need it desperately. The bread that they eat is the bread that perishes, and it will not sustain them. It will not produce eternal life. It will not keep them alive forever. But the bread that they get through the Lord Jesus Christ is bread that brings eternal life, that will sustain them forever and ever and ever. The truth is, what the world needs is Jesus. That's what they need. Now, they don't know that, and they don't believe that, and that's not what they profess to want. They want all the bright, shiny things the world has to offer. They want all the fun, the parties, the games, the good times. And they think that's the answer. And they're as wrong as anybody could be. What they really need is the simplest thing in the world, the bread of life. So here we are, the multitudes, the water that covers the earth, the multitude of people are in desperate need of bread. I want you to look at the verse, and it said, cast thy bread upon the waters. What's the proposed use of the bread in the verse? It's not for you to keep. Not for you to hang on to. It's not for you to get as much of the bread as you can get and then hoard it and hang on to it. The admonition is for you to take the bread you have and cast it upon the waters. It's not about us getting all the religion we can and hanging on to it for just us, selfishly keeping it for ourselves. It's taking about what God gives you and multiplying it and using it to feed and sustain the world. You realize we tell that story about Jesus, you know, and the loaves and the fishes and feeding the 5,000. And we think what a wonderful, wonderful miracle that is. And he fed the 5,000 with a couple of loaves and a couple of fishes and then took up 12 baskets full of fragments. After everybody was fed and done, they had more bread and fish than when they started. Here you are saved by God's amazing grace and indwelt by the bread of life, sustained by the bread of life, filled with the bread of life. And you can give it to the world. But you still got enough for you. You don't run out. By casting your bread upon the waters doesn't diminish what you have. It multiplies what you have. And the more you give away, the more you got. You realize, in a sense, you can do exactly the same miracle with the bread that Jesus did. You can use it to feed the multitudes. That's pretty miraculous, isn't it? I always wanted to do a miracle. Yeah. Wouldn't it be cool? Snap your fingers and turn the water into wine. High quality wine, of course. Or touch the blind man and open his eyes. How about this, ladies and gentlemen? How about giving the bread of life to the walking dead and see them live? How's that for a miracle? So who can do that? Anybody in this room who's saved by God's amazing grace, who will take the bread of life that indwells them and share it, cast it upon the waters. Now, he said, cast thy bread. Cast it where? Upon the waters. The people, the nations, the tongues of the world. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's nobody in the world that doesn't need bread. Nobody. The Chinaman and the Bulgarian and the Muslim and the black man and the yellow man, they all have something in common. They all need bread. Amen. We have an ability because we have a supply. We have something that nobody else in the world has. We have the bread of life. The bread that produces eternal life. And we're commanded to cast it upon the waters. God wants us to share it. You won't come up short for doing it. But without it, the world will perish. They'll perish for lack of bread. But if you and I take what and share it, God will multiply it and feed the multitudes. Now, it requires some patience to see the process. He said, and after many days. You know what Christians lack more than probably anything other than faith itself is patience. We live in a right now generation. We don't want to wait on anything. Young people get married today. Mom and dad have been married 30 years. And it took them 20 years to get a house and a new car. Man, when I got married, nobody in our day got married and started out owning a house. Nobody in our day started out with a brand new car. We drove junkers. We used to call them clunkers. Because you could hear them pistons swapping holes sometimes. But nowadays, kids get married. They want a brand new house and usually two new cars now. My grandson got married 2 years ago, maybe just a hair over. And they got two brand new cars and a new house. They're in debt up in here. That's what that means. Amen. They ain't been married no time. They're not ready for all that stuff. They ain't paid their dues yet. Nobody wants to wait for anything. Nobody wants to work for anything. Nobody has any patience. We want instant grits and instant oats and instant access. I heard people the other day complaining about their computer. It ain't fast enough. They need some kind of new hookup or access or gigabyte, or I don't know, some stupid term. Say, why? Because their computer is so slow. Well, how slow is it? Well, it's really slow. Well, how slow is really slow? Well, you know. I ain't got a clue. I know I got a clunker computer, and I got one of them little Verizon hotspot things that's slower than dirt by today's standards. And I can get almost anything in 2 or 3 seconds. But we don't want to wait that long. We want it as quick as we click the button. No, we don't want to say, you click the button and nothing happens. What's going on? It's thinking, you know. And all of a sudden it pops up. We're aggravated with that. How come it didn't pop up when I pushed the button? We have no patience. Takes 30 years to develop a reputation. There's no speedy way to do it. You have to live a life consistently for a long period of time to establish the validity of your reputation. It can't be rushed. Amen? It takes 30 years to establish faithfulness. You can't just declare it on day one or day two or day three. You have to demonstrate it for 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. There's no way to shortcut it. There's no way to rush it. It has to be lived. Now, in the Christian world, we want everything to happen right now. We want folks to get saved right now. Well, I told him about Jesus and he didn't get saved. I'm scratching him off my list. He's just obstinate and stubborn. Self-willed. I ain't messing with him no more. Well, I don't think you ought to camp out on his door, but I don't think you ought to scratch him off the list either. Amen. You know, you don't get fat off of one piece of bread. You get fat off a loaf. And when you give somebody a little of the bread of life, they don't always get converted. But if you'll give them enough of it, there's a good chance it'll take after a while. But you just got to have a little patience. What we need to do is live Christ before them consistently, live our life faithfully, and cast our bread regularly. And over time, he'll come back. But we've got to have some patience. We want everybody to get saved the first time they hear the gospel. Generally speaking, it just doesn't work that way. Now, I agree with you, when folks get saved, they get saved instantaneously in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. But bringing them to that point in time is generally a long, drawn-out process. I'm here to tell you, I didn't get saved the first time somebody talked to me or the first time I heard the gospel. When I got saved that quick once I received Christ. But getting me to do that, getting me to the point where I would bow my head and confess my sinfulness and ask Jesus Christ to save me, took a long, long time. Somebody say amen. So we need to cast our bread up on the water and we need to stay at it. And after many days, we live in a generation with no patience. We don't want to wait. But there's some things, just like reputation, like faithfulness, you can't rush. What we need to do is put out the Word of God, the bread of life, consistently, diligently, faithful, week after week, month after month, and year after year. And if we will do that, in time, you will see a result. Now, I said, there's a promise made with that verse. And after many days, thou shalt find it. Find what? The bread that you cast. It means it comes back to you. Remember that old saying, what goes around comes around? You ever hear that? Well, there's a lot of truth in that. You cast the bread upon the water, and you stay at it. Week in, week out, month after month, year after year. And after a while, you begin to see a result. You begin to see people, you begin to bump into people, you begin to hear about people who are coming to know Christ, who are questioning, who are asking, who are inquiring. So what is that? That's it coming back to you. You're not going to have people come and ask you about Christ. You're not going to run into people that are interested in the condition of their soul if you haven't cast the bread on the waters so that the Holy Spirit can take that bread and cause a hunger in their soul for the bread. If we stay at it, do it diligently, do it faithfully, sooner or later, it comes back. You hear about, oh, so-and-so got saved. Or sometimes they don't use the word saved much anymore. Jim Bob over there, remember him? Oh, yeah, I remember that ignorant redneck. Well, he joined the church last week. Or they'll say, he got religion. That's what the old-time Methodists used to say. We say they got saved. I don't care what they call it, as long as they found the bread of life. Amen. Amen. Now, look at the verse again. It said, cast thy bread. You know the problem with the plan? It involves us. Now, on the surface of it, that looks like a plan that is rife with problems. Somebody say amen. It's cast thy bread. It's personal. Well, I would say right now, if Louis Steele was right with God, he'd be putting out gospel tracts. He'd be witnessing to folks all over the state of North Carolina and South Carolina. He'd be telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. He'd be warning them about the wrath to come. He'd be a vocal, vibrant witness for Jesus Christ. And if he'd just get off his lazy backside and do that, that's not what that verse said. That verse said, if I would, cast thy bread, you personally, individually. It's not about what the other guy's doing. It's about what are you doing. And I don't have any right to expect Lewis to cast his bread away when I don't cast mine. Amen? Cast thy bread. What we need is for every individual Christian to be a soul winner. To put out gospel tracts. To talk to people about Jesus Christ. It's amazing the places you can find to be a witness if you try. It's amazing the things you can do that invite people to ask you questions. My wife wears them buttons, and they all have a verse on it or a phrase out of a verse, and people are always looking, and they'll get real close to it because they want to see what it says, and sometimes they go, oh. That's the end of that. But a lot of times they say, oh, I'm a Christian, or as they say, I say amen to that. But you would not believe the response that those little buttons get, because they just catch people's eyes. But it opens the door to witness for Jesus Christ. I don't know how many people I've got to witness to because they ask her about her button. And I don't let her get all the glory. I take her candy away from her. There's just... My wife did something a while back that just astounded me, and I thought, I'm smarter than her. I don't know why I didn't think of that. Really bothered me because she got me. This telemarketer or whatever it was, somebody called on the phone, you know, they're always bugging, and this aggravates me, especially when they call me on the cell phone. But they call, and they wanted her to take some kind of little survey. And here's what she did. She said, "I'll make you a deal." That always catches them off guard. She said, "I'll tell you what, I will take your survey and I will let you make your spiel. If when you get through, you will give me a couple of minutes to ask you a couple of questions." Of course, they got no idea what's coming. And they will almost invariably say, "Okay." And then she sits there and dutifully answers all their little questions and takes their little survey or whatever it is. And they get all through, and she said, "Now, are you through?" They say, "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Now, you remember, you promised that if I'd listen to you, you'd listen to me." "Yes, ma'am." And she'll say, "Now, if you die today, do you know you'd go to heaven?" And you can almost hear him choking on the other end. But I thought, you know, that's pretty smart. That's smart. And I don't know how many people she has witnessed to, 2 or 3 minutes on the telephone, because she had the presence of mind to obligate them. You know what she's doing? She's casting her bread upon the water. If you put out enough gospel tracts, and I don't know, a lot of times we start putting out gospel tracts, and then we don't see any result and we get weary because we didn't have any patience. But if you put out enough thousands of gospel tracts, sooner or later you'll get back a letter or a note or something that says, "I read your tract, and I trusted Christ as my Savior." Now, we've been doing that for over 30 years, and I think we've had 2 letters. Well, that's better than none. So what are you doing? You cast your bread on the water, and then you wait, and after many days, it comes back to you. Well, I would tell you what. When you get that letter in the mail, and it says from somebody you never heard of, and they found your track in a doctor's office 3 states away, and they read your track, and God dealt with them, and they got saved, I'll tell you what, man, that's a really good feeling. Amen. Here's somebody that's going to go to heaven that you never laid eyes on, and it's all because you took the time to cast your bread on the waters, and you waited, and it came back to you. We quit too quick. We quit putting out the tracts. Well, I put out 500 of them and I ain't seen nothing. Oh, you might have to put out 50,000 of them. But you won't get but one back and it'll light your fire. I remember a number of years ago, Mark Kriegshauser was still married to Sue. And they were on the way home. And they went by this car that was pulled off on the road. And they lived that way out in the boondocks. And so Mark stopped to see what the problem was. And this guy had a busted radiator hose. And they went in, Mark took the guy in and got him a radiator hose and come back and helped him put it on. Now, and I've always worried about that story because I've seen Mark in mechanics. And that's scary is what that is. But he helped that guy get his car going, got it filled up with water, and then he took out a track and presented the guy and started talking to him. Now, the man didn't get saved, but Mark gave me a letter the man wrote him. And this guy had written a 2-page letter thanking him for his help and his assistance, but thanking him most of all for the conversation and the gospel tract, and that the Lord had really been dealing with him, and for the last month or two, he had been attending a little church, and he still wasn't right with God, but he was going. I thought, now that's a great story. What is that? That's casting your bread up on the water. And sometimes it comes back to you. Amen. You just got to have a little patience. It might not happen every time. It might not happen this year or next year. But you keep doing it, and it will. Dying enough, because God said so. Now, this bread. this bread that we have because we're saved. This bread's amazing. The bread of life, it's amazing. And here's why it's amazing. The bread of life feeds me. And it feeds those that I give it to. And I never go lacking, and I never go short, and I never go hungry. There's always enough for me. And there's always enough to give to anybody that wants it. The bread of life multiplies. It spreads. It's shareable. I saw a commercial, actually I saw a couple that interested me. They have the Kit Kat bars. And you buy, I don't know if it's a standard size or not, but it's got four little bars in it. And they click it, you know, they break it and you hear it click. And you get one and your friend gets one and your friend gets one. And they used to have three musketeers. And three musketeers was big enough for you and a friend. They were shareables. That's the way the Word of God is. It's enough for me, and enough for you, and enough for you, and still enough for anybody else that wants it. You can't give it all away. It multiplies, it grows, it expands. It. The more you give away, the more there seems to be. Now here's the conclusion to that little verse. If you don't share your bread, many will starve. That's the bottom line. That one little verse, cast thy bread upon the waters. Take your bread and share it. And after many days, it will return unto thee. You share the Word of God. I don't know how it is the Word of God feeds the soul. I don't know how the Word of God lodges in the heart. I don't know how the Word of God fills the mind. I just know that it does. I know it did to me. And from your own testimony, it has to many of you. That bread of life has turned you upside down. It sustains you. It's what keeps you going. And yet there's a world out there that will perish for lack of bread. And the great tragedy in that is that there is a vast supply. There is no reason in the world for anybody to perish for the lack of bread. Because there is enough and to spare if we just share it. Let's bow our head. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. Lord, I pray you'd help us to take the bread of life and cast it up on the waters. Give us diligence and faithfulness and patience. And then I pray, oh God, give us that joyous day when it returns. Wish you would. Thank you for that. Now, Lord, we pray tonight you would bless our fellowship, take the food we're about to eat, nurse it to our bodies, and help us to be strengthened with it and by it, that tomorrow we might be a better servant and we might diligently cast our bread up on the water. In Jesus' name, amen.